Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. Stephen St. John, Jake Gutierrez in Kansas City. Nate Bucati, tell people where you are.
I'm at the Beverly Hills Marriott for one last day.
When do you come home?
Fly home overnight. So
why overnight?
Well, because I have this game to call here today in Los Angeles, and then I have a Sporting Kansas City game to call tomorrow night back in KC. So kind of needed to get back as quickly as possible, and the only option was to fly overnight through Dallas. So I think I fly out of here at like midnight California time. Land in Dallas at like 5 a.m. and then land in Kansas City around 8 a.m.
Call that the old red eye, Nate.
The old red eye. I don't know if I've ever taken a red eye before.
Oh, I've taken plenty of them. More than I'd like to admit.
I have red eyes right now. Don't yeah.
I? You got puffy eyes.
I got puffy eyes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So what time is your flight leave from Dallas? Like 7?
I think it's about 7 a.m. Yeah.
That's usually the worst part of the red eye is waiting for the next flight.
2 hours in the Dallas-Fort Worth. Hopefully I'm on time, so I have 2 hours there.
Well, tonight you'll miss Game 6 of the NBA Finals right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB between the Suns and the Bucks. Dude, that's going to be awesome. I'm not just saying that. Nah, you're going to miss it. Don't worry about it. I'm not just saying it because you're going to miss it, but that's I can't wait. I can't wait to watch it with Phil, which means at about 7:30, he'll come into the office and tell me, hey, I'm going to my friend's house to watch the game. Like, okay.
I'll come over and watch it with
bye.
You. Bye. Get on Zoom and watch it together. 8 p.m., Nate. Tips off at 8
bye,
p.m.
Bye, Philip. Can I come to your friend's
watch
party?
It then.
No, you won't.
There'll be 6 there.
Yeah. I don't
nope,
take off until 11:55.
You'll be sure to watch it because we'll look forward to getting your thoughts on it tomorrow.
Ha. While I'm driving home, I'll call in.
No, thanks. You
call
keep
from
your
the
eyes.
Dallas airport.
No thanks. You keep your eyes on the road.
I probably need to.
We don't need you calling in. So your car's. So you're going to be driving
from Dallas.
No, I land in Kansas City at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I could call you when I.
But is your car? You're no one's picking you up. Your car's been in the lot this whole time.
Yeah.
You don't have a car service. Spot. You don't get like a Z trip or something, or you don't.
Well, I was coming from Chicken and Pickle from the pickleball tournament, so.
Ah.
I just took my car and parked at the satellite parking,
How much does that cost for the whole week?
I don't know how much it'll cost, but I get to expense that.
Yeah.
Then I hope you parked in the expensive parking then.
Well, I did park at the covered lot at the parking spot.
Ah.
So I didn't park in short term because that's like real expensive.
Oh, I used to do that for CBS because they'd expense that. I'd park right across from the terminal in the covered parking, just pay like $28 a day.
Yeah,
but then again,
I thought about that, but I was like, man, my first trip out here probably shouldn't.
But mine would only be for 2 nights. It'd be a Friday and Saturday.
Will you be really angry when you get home after all that traveling that the airport's convenient? Will you be mad like, hey, I can't find breakfast anywhere? Where can I get a beer?
I wish I had a direction. I'm asking you if
you will be mad that it's convenient tomorrow and angry that you can't sit down and have a beer and breakfast someplace.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what is more convenient about flying home. I don't know what's more convenient about the airport to like when I get back in than another airport. What would be more convenient is if I could get a direct flight from L.A. to Kansas City.
No red eyes to Kansas City, buddy.
Nope. You heard him.
No red eyes. That's why either.
That's a good 4 hours to my travel time.
Yep. I'd have to go through Chicago most of the time, and it sucked. You can't get a red eye into Kansas City. Wait for the first flight in the morning.
Hopefully, when we have the new airport, there'll be some direct flights around after that. That's what I'm hoping.
Suns and Bucks tonight at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Will the Bucks close it out?
Yes.
Yep, they will. I had to think about that. Bucks a 5.5-point favorite?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they...
I think they will too, but I wouldn't be mad if it went game.
No, I'm hoping
game
for
seven.
It. I'm rooting for it a little bit.
It was funny yesterday. You tell how... I guess it's not funny. How damaged my son is from the Super Bowl. Remember, I left early yesterday because we had UMKC orientation. Rue Connection Day is what it is. And Phil could not get out of having me with him because they sent an email out. One parent is welcome. And so he tries to hide that from me. I think I'm supposed to go by myself. I go, no, you're not. I'm looking at this right here. And so we were there. And guess what? You know, guess what the most proud was of the day when, you know, they were going around the room and it was a large auditorium filled with a bunch of incoming freshmen and transfer students and their parents. And at one point they said, okay, hey, how about all the parents? Do we have any alums in here? Huh? And me and someone else stood up and go, hey, everybody. And Phil's like, oh, geez, sit down, please. Sit down, Dad, stop. What? He said, was there any alums? I got up and... waved my hand. I was excited because he's going to the school I went to, see? But he pays attention and does homework and things like that, which that was foreign to me. But I went and stopped by to see our friend Billy Donlin in the basketball office. And that was a nice visit. And so we were talking, and Coach Donlin was listening to the show. And so this was funny. So we were talking about... following the topic we were talking about was following great coaches, because he'd had a chance to talk to the coach that was the head coach when I was at UMKC, Lee Hunt, and I spent 1 year as an assistant manager, as a student manager on the team when Lee Hunt was the coach. And so, yes, Jake, I am fruit from the Lee Hunt coaching tree. In a way, I mean, student manager, but still, same thing. Hey, whatever. And so we were talking last week about Gene Bartow. Who brought that up?
Stan Weber.
Okay. And so how Gene Bartow was a very successful coach, but he had to follow John Wooden at UCLA.
They were talking about Frank Solage retiring.
Right.
He had to follow Osborne, and Nebraska hasn't been the same since he left, basically. And then he brought up John Wooden in that example.
Right, and so Lee Hunt was a longtime assistant under Gene Bartow, and I used to hear all those stories when I was working for the basketball program. And so Coach Donlin had just had a conversation with Lee Hunt last week, and they had, you know, and I said, did he bring up Gene Bartow? Because that's a Coach Hunt go-to. And we laughed and talked about that. And so we were just talking about the difficulty of following great coaches. And then he brought up the point, goes, boy, can you imagine – the guy that's going to have to follow Andy Reid with the Chiefs. And I said, well, I don't want to find out about that for several years. But, I mean, right? That's going to be a tough one in Kansas City to follow Andy Reid, especially. It won't be as tough if Patrick Mahomes is still the quarterback, which we anticipate. I don't know. Like, when somebody asks you how long Andy Reid's going to coach, what do you think? Like, what pops into your head? I think at least 5 years more.
I was going to say 5 years.
What's your gut tell you? I mean, I think he's going to coach as long as possible, as long as Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback. But, I mean, I'll throw 5 years out there and feel good about that, Jake.
Yeah, he'd be 67 at that point in time.
And who knows, maybe, you know. But the point is, that's going to be that's tough to follow.
Yeah, I guess it depends. If they, you know, if they roll back-to-back championships, I could see him, you know, leaving out on top.
Or you know? Just keep going to see how many championships you can win. Who knows? It's just depends on how things go.
I think five sounds nice and round.
Right. Depends on how his health is, if he's still still enjoying himself. There's numerous factors, okay? So
I think five would be the over under.
It won't be easy to follow him. He's had a tremendous even now, he's had a tremendous, and he wasn't as successful, but it wasn't easy to follow Marty Schottenheimer after he was here in Kansas City, right? So so we were talking about that, and then the topic went to, boy, can you imagine trying to follow Andy Reid? And so then Billy kind of changed the subject on us, and he goes, so Phil, you're rooting for the Bucks, huh? Because he had heard me talking about it in the air, but Phil was thinking football, and he thought he meant Tampa, and Phil goes, no! And Billy goes, oh, I thought you was, he's, I thought you liked, no, oh, no, those Bucks. No, I like Giannis. I was just, I thought you were talking about Andy Reid, and I thought you meant the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he's so scarred when he hears Bucks, he thought he was asking me to root for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hell no, what's wrong with you?
No, Phil's like, he goes, no!
Right.
And then later on, he goes, you think he thinks I was an idiot? Because I said, no, he just knows that you're scarred. You're a scarred football fan. And he did bring up Andy Reid, and there was, the transition wasn't smooth.
Topical.
Right. And so we were having fun with that. But I had a good time talking to Coach Donlin, so we're going to have him on the show at some point.
Try to get him on tomorrow.
Yeah. And so he can talk about Game 6 of the NBA Finals and name, image, and likeness. And all the interesting things going on with college basketball and the talent that he's putting together for the Kansas City Roos. So we had a good time on campus yesterday, but Coach Donlin wanted to pass along hellos to both of you, one of our favorite guests. And
fine man.
Hopefully we'll talk to him tomorrow. But I just thought that was funny that Phil's so scarred by this. He was asking about the Milwaukee Bucks. He thought he was talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But no, Phil's still on board with Giannis, but even Phil said, I wouldn't mind Game 7.
Right.
And even though I want Milwaukee to win, there's nothing quite like a Game 7. Game 7 of the NBA Finals would be fantastic, although I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the Suns are going to win on the road tonight, but there's one way to find out. Watch it tonight or listen to it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHBO. Milwaukee leads the series 3-2, 1 game away from the first NBA championship in 50 years in Milwaukee. Also tonight, after a breather, after getting beat 2 out of 3 by the Baltimore Orioles, the Royals are back in action, and the Royals game is affected by Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Because the Royals, where are they playing at, Jake? You got your thinking cap on, partner? They're playing in Milwaukee.
Oh!
And the game was scheduled to be at 7 o'clock. And guess what? Now it's not. They moved it. Shockingly, they don't want to have the Milwaukee Brewers baseball game going on during the Milwaukee Bucks Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Smart move.
So a few days ago, they moved the game to 3:10 in the afternoon.
Smart.
So if you're in Milwaukee,
wow, that'd be a great.
You
double,
get a chance to take
dip.
In, like Jake said, a double dip, a double header. And why wouldn't you with the Brewers 56-39? And so the Royals will be walking into a difficult situation as they'll be taking on one of the best teams in baseball and a team that it's one of my favorite teams to watch. A very exciting team. I've talked to you about how fantastic Willy Adames has been, the shortstop that they acquired early on. They figured out they needed a much better defensive shortstop, and they went out and acquired him, and he's been un-freaking-believable in a Brewers uniform. And Milwaukee, like I said, 56-39, will host the Royals today. So an odd start time for a Tuesday game, Tuesday afternoon, 3:10. So that'll start your Milwaukee doubleheader. And so, a lot of people watch the NBA Finals in Kansas City, and maybe you don't normally watch the Brewers, but you watch the Royals today at 3:10. Jake, if you were in Milwaukee, would you take in the doubleheader, or would you save yourself for Game 6 of the NBA Finals, knowing if you win, that could be a lengthy celebration afterwards.
No, I would take the day off, and then I'd go to both.
You'd go to both, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd go, you say, hey, the Brewers are taking on Mike Minor, and he's got a 5.67 ERA.
I'd say, I love Lo Kane. I'm going to go watch Lo Kane.
There could be some fireworks out there. Nate, would you do the doubleheader?
It's a great park, man.
Or would you? You know, I'd like to go there.
I've been there a couple times.
Is it good?
Yes, I've enjoyed my. I've been there three or four times. It's a fantastic ballpark.
You ever seen Mike Minor pitch there?
No.
Would that add to the?
I think I saw Ben Sheets pitch there one time.
Wow. Nate, would you try to go to the doubleheader, or would you save yourself for the NBA Finals?
I'm saving myself for the finals on this one. I would like to go to Miller Park.
Maybe a cocktail before, get yourself nice and loose for Game 6 of the finals. You wouldn't spend any time at the baseball game, would you?
I don't know about getting nice and loose, but I'm looking. I wonder if any Royals players, like if I were a Royals player.
I'd go to the NBA Finals afterwards.
Right.
Look, if I'm a Brewers player, I'm fired up because I'm home and they move the game. I'm going, you see how a bunch of Green Bay Packers go? Hell yes. I was thinking that, like, how many players are going to go right from the game onto the NBA Finals? If you were a Royals player, you'd go, wouldn't you?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm looking at, looks like you can get in the building for about $1,500.
I don't think that's a big issue for anyone that plays for the Royals.
That's what I'm saying.
So how do they do that? Do they have a guy like that works for the Royals? They'll tell, hey, I need tickets, and he'll go out, and they got a guy that takes care of everything, right, if they want to go somewhere.
Yeah, usually the traveling secretary will help them out. I don't think they're getting any comp tickets to the
No,
NBA
but he'll
finals.
At least go and purchase them. I mean,
get them the best deal you can find.
You don't, I mean, like, yeah. like Whit Merrifield wouldn't be sitting there with his credit card trying to buy tickets, like,
on tickets.
Wouldn't he just tell somebody? Or something
maybe,
like that.
Yeah, I mean, most often that would be the case, yeah.
By the way, Jake, I don't want to disappoint you, but Lo Kane's on the IL, so you would not get a chance to.
Well.
I know that angers you, but.
Then I probably wouldn't double dip that.
Just because, no Lo Kane?
No Lo Kane, I'm out.
Okay.
If you want to sit mid-court, you can get tickets for around $15,000.
What? 15 grand a ticket?
I'm looking at one right here that goes $14,968 is the asking price. But on the other side of the court, you can get it for just under 10 grand.
If you're loaded and you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan and you have a chance at home to win the NBA Finals,
right?
I mean, if you're loaded, like, you know.
Like the guy who's counting $100 bills at the Suns game?
Yeah, but he's a thief. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, what an a-hole that guy
is.
I know,
it just makes you just despise Suns fans.
Despise him.
Right. He was, as Giannis was taking his free, the guy I'm talking about, the guy is, you know.
Do you know what he's talking about, Nate?
No.
So, yeah, you know how, so like, I think.
One,
I
think, two,
right, Brooklyn
three,
started it.
Four, and they all start counting, yeah.
The clock that when Giannis is on the line. And so this guy, as they're counting, he had like $100 bills in his hand.
Right.
And he's counting hundreds.
And they kept showing him on TV, and so as they're all counting, he's counting the $100 bills. One, two, three, he's got a stack of bills, right? And so I don't know that, because he got a lot of airtime, I don't know that the response was what he was looking for. Because from what I saw, he was getting absolutely trashed
on
Twitter.
Shredded.
You know. But hey.
Hey, whatever.
He made a quick stop at the ATM, showed up. He obviously had good seats.
Yes.
He was on TV counting $100 bills at Giannis at the free throw line. So
you know, I would have had more respect for him if he was like making hundreds rain, like one.
Right.
Two. I mean, all he's doing is counting.
So you didn't like it?
No.
It didn't.
It's stupid.
But you would have liked it if he was making it rain.
It would have, you know, it did remind me of like Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, the $1 million.
Like, yeah, right.
Okay, what if he would have hired Virgil?
Then I would have liked it.
Because Virgil is on the circuit for making appearances.
Sure,
so,
he is.
So he had a briefcase.
Comic Cons, right? I would have had a lot more appreciation. If Virgil was sitting in the seat next to him, then I would have had a lot of. I would have liked that guy.
So that would have been better for you.
Yes. But, I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when I was like, that guy's not Ted DiBiase. Who do you think you are? You're not the $1 million man.
He's trying to outshine Suns and Four guy.
Yeah, he is.
And it didn't work.
No, he's not gonna.
No, he can't do that.
Nope.
Well, so there you go. There's you've got something to watch, something to keep your mind occupied. If you just want to ignore work or whatever else, that's fine.
Yeah.
Leave work early and go watch the Royals and Brewers at home if you can. I shouldn't say
no
that.
No one's working in Milwaukee today. Right. Anyway.
Oh no, hell no! If you're in Milwaukee, you take the day off.
Yeah,
you go out to the ball game. Go to a because like if the Brewers sucked, like I don't want to do that doubleheader.
No, but
the
good.
Brewers are headed to the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're kicking ass. So I would go for the first few innings, and with Mike Minor pitching, things should be pretty much settled
sure.
by the third or fourth. I'm sorry.
That's not nice.
No,
he usually doesn't get touched up till the third time around. Third time through the batting order.
See, that's too negative. Maybe it's good Mike Minor tonight. Maybe he really handcuffs the Brewers, and they can't do anything with him.
You know what? I think he's going to.
Like, to what extent? In what regard? Like what?
Quality start today.
So he'll have at least six innings pitched and no more than three earned runs allowed.
Correct.
All right. Okay, then. Jake says, I wonder what kind of odds you get on that.
What kind of
prop bet that could be.
Well, what do you want to give me?
Mike Minor quality start at Milwaukee
and then,
this afternoon.
Parlay Giannis over, 26 points?
I'd go for like four or five innings to that game and then head over and get ready for the basketball game if I was lucky enough to have tickets to both. But yeah. What a day in Milwaukee, and the Royals are a part of it. All right, but they're just like they're like the opponent. So, but guess what? Maybe they don't lay down for the Milwaukee Brewers because the Royals got Mike Minor going for them.
And maybe the Brewers are a bunch of Bucks fans, and they're looking ahead
yeah.
in the evening. Maybe
they just want to get the hell out of
right.
there, get this game over.
Maybe they're a bunch of Bucks fans, like yeah, let's get through this game so we can get to. Game six.
They don't want to miss tip off. They don't want their game to end up like the Reds and Mets debacle last night.
Didn't see that.
Well, I did. And look at this. You know why? This is why I get irrationally pissed off on a Monday night because that cost the Bada Bings a win in relief. Seth Lugo was set up for the win until Edwin Diaz, until the dummy Mets decided, hey, first base is open and the game's on the line. Let's pitch to their best hitter, Jesse Winker. He couldn't possibly hurt us, and the game's tied.
Well, at least, you know, Pilonza went yard for you last night, at least.
There you go. Let's go! But the point is, look and see what happened with that game. That was all hell was breaking loose. And so, hopefully for the Brewers and Royals that are going to the NBA Finals, the game will get done in under 3 hours, and they'll be good to go for Game 6 between the Bucks and the Suns. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Royals were off yesterday, so you get a break from Royals baseball yesterday. And again, as we mentioned, they take on the Milwaukee Brewers just after 3 o'clock today. Then we'll have Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was talking about the wild game that took place last night between the Mets and the Reds. All hell was breaking loose in Major League Baseball yesterday. The Mets and the Reds played an 11-inning game that ended up 15-11. The Mets beat the Reds. You had the Red Sox putting up 13 on the Blue Jays, 13-4. You had the Tigers beating the Rangers 14-0. And then you had the Nationals beating the Marlins 18-1. So offensive explosions everywhere. And the Nationals leading the Marlins 18-0. And then when the Tigers led the Rangers 14-0, and the Red Sox had a lead 12-0 against the Blue Jays, it was the fourth time in MLB history that three teams had 12-0 leads or more on the same day. It happened twice in 1890. You can get Frank Bola call, get his thoughts on that, and see if he remembers what that day was like. And then it didn't happen again until July 7th, 2004. And then it happened last night. So you had three different teams that had at least a 12-0 lead at one point, all in the same day. So a lot of ass kickings last night in Major League Baseball. Thankfully, the Royals are not part of that. Also, something interesting, and Jake, as I slide into Jake's DMs like I normally do, part of that Mets-Reds, that wild game, is like they normally do whenever there's a Cincinnati team playing. We've talked about this, the Bengals or the Reds. It seems like, hey, look, okay, what do they always showcase? What do they always highlight? It seems like, and Jake, you've been a part of this, CBS crews or whatever else, like for the Chiefs, they'll highlight some tailgating, and at some point, there's always a package, I don't know, whatever you call it, when they're coming back from break, and you'll see someone preparing some barbecue somewhere.
Right, some right? vignettes. They have, you know, break vignettes. Right.
And then, so, oh, there's some of that Kansas City barbecue, right? We like, they go, look! Hey, look, the crew went and ate some barbecue someplace, because that's what we do in Kansas City. Isn't that great? Well, what do they do in Cincinnati? What do they do in Cincinnati?
Oh, God, I just...
What do they highlight? Nate, what do they highlight?
Dog vomit. Dog vomit.
Wake up over there in Beverly Hills. What do they highlight?
Dog vomit over spaghetti.
You jerk. Do you guys know who Gary Cohen is?
Sandy's brother?
I don't know that he's Sandy's brother. I don't know that he is or isn't. I'm not going to say... I don't know.
Probably
maybe.
Not.
Okay. Gary Cohen is the play-by-play announcer for the New York Mets. They were playing the Reds. Can you play audio of Gary Cohen talking as and Nate or Jake, you want to describe what you're seeing on the video? The game is in the sixth inning, it's 7-7. And then they show a guy, and it was interesting the way he's doing it. I'd never really seen him prepared.
Right.
He's got a plate of the spaghetti. He's putting the beans on it. So and then after the beans,
a scenic vignette.
Right. And then you're seeing him on the prep table. Then he gets what they call the gravy, and he puts that on there. And then a bunch of diced onions. And then he takes a big glob of the shredded cheese and puts it on there. And that's the Skyline Chili that Cincinnati's famous for that I've never had. I've never had a chance to go there. But you claim it is basically vomit on a plate. Nate, you badmouth it, but Nate, have you actually had it?
Oh, yeah.
So you?
Oh, yeah, I've been there. I've had it.
And it's just, how do you describe it?
The only good thing about it is how much shredded cheese they put on.
I'll agree with that. I love shredded
okay.
cheese.
And it's a lot.
And it's tons.
It's a lot.
Look, I'm not going to badmouth their chili dogs. If you like, I'm not a big chili dog guy.
Right.
But if you like chili dogs, they do a good chili
dog.
What
about this chili? This is called Chili Five Ways. Mm-hmm. I learned last night.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Why I'm watching Mets, Reds, you know. So play.
You want to hear the audio?
Yeah, here's Gary Cohen. The play, and they're talking about this while they're showing the vignette that I just described of this guy preparing the chili five ways at Skyline.
A local scenic.
Yes.
This is the local delicacy known as Skyline Chili, the five way with the spaghetti and the beans and the cheese.
Five way.
First, the disgusting chili gravy.
And what do you put on
the onions?
Do you put some mustard or something on
that? Wait a second. After the onions comes the cheese, and that's what makes it the five-way. Here we go. Is the cheese. They put like 10 tons of shredded cheese on there, and this is supposed to be food that you actually eat.
Now, does the cheese melt, or is that
Ronnie, have you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have not.
I would recommend...
Not having it? Or?
Well, no. You need to try everything once.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
If it doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Try it once, and then you'll never eat it again.
Why didn't they do that when Nick Castellanos is up at the plate? He can't hit a home run during that. Damn it! I was like, oh, just wait for Castellanos to get up.
Why didn't
the hell's wrong with
there,
you?
That's
so. Was he? So was his? I mean, you could tell he hate, Gary Cohen hates it.
No, I mean it's not good.
Was that an accurate description? Or was he being too negative? And then, yeah. So last night on Twitter, all these people retweeting this, and they were arguing about whether or not it's good. And so then we talked about this because Tim Grenhardt's daughter is moving to Cincinnati,
right?
And he went to Cincinnati. And we, or at least I'm trying to get him to go taste it because I want his opinion. Because you guys,
he said he was going to go do it.
Have crapped all over it.
Yeah,
and
well,
so then,
we don't really. I mean, they crap on it
right.
themselves.
And it was all over Twitter last night, and people arguing, "Hey, it's actually good if you give it a try."
Nope.
And then people, "Oh, just uppity New York guy is taking a crap on anything that's not New York." And then someone said, "Well, no, he, like something you said, no, he doesn't have to take a crap on it. That's what the
yeah.
there's crap on it, the plate already."
Yes.
So Nate is a play-by-play guy. How do you feel like he handled the description of the Skyline Chili?
I thought he nailed it. Like, I'm glad I had it one time so I can say I've had it, and I'll never eat there again. And I'm just thinking about, like, you know, Cincinnati. I feel like it's a little similar to Kansas City. I've only been there a couple times, but you know, it's a not too big, not too fancy city. In kind of the middle of America, and I'm just so glad that we're known for good food. Like, everybody, like, anytime you talk to anybody about being, like, a lot of people out here in L.A., for example, have said to me stuff about, hey, bring us some of that barbecue, you know? Nobody goes, man, your barbecue sucks. Like, that, I'm glad our town isn't known for food that most people think sucks, and that's kind of what Cincinnati is.
I'm sorry, Cincinnati kind of sucks.
Wow.
You
want to elaborate before we break, or?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just.
I thought it was kind of a cool town.
Did you?
You don't like Cincinnati at all.
I can
verify this.
I guess it's better than Cleveland. I mean, I guess that's the nicest. That's the nicest
that
thing I can say about Cincinnati.
that's not real high praise.
No, but they're like. I feel bad. I mean. I know some good people from there.
Well, just tell the truth. You've been, I mean, you know.
It seems like a grimy city. It's just, they have an area that tries to be like the Power and Light, but it's like half of the places are out of business.
Greg just tweeted at me, Skyline is great.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't call it a delicacy. It's fast food. But Greg says it's great.
Well, Greg, you're allowed to have an opinion, even if it's wrong.
Wow. Nate, do you think Greg's wrong when he says it's great? He says it's not a delicacy, it's fast food, but it's great.
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem anybody has with it. It's how it tastes. Like, there's a lot of fast food that's delicious.
Right.
Yeah, Greg, you don't need to badmouth fast food.
And I like
food.
Chili. That's the thing. It's like, I was all excited about it because I like chili, but it doesn't taste like
it's
chili.
It's not even a good chili, huh?
No.
Is that how you eat your chili at home? You put it on some pasta and some chopped onions and... half pound of cheese.
Well,
no,
look,
yes or
when
no.
I make chili at home, I do put onions and cheese in it, but I don't put it on top of spaghetti.
Do you put a half pound of cheese like they do, though?
No.
Well, you should.
Well, that's the only way to mask the horrible taste of the chili.
And the cheese. Five way. First, the disgusting chili gravy. What do you put on the onions? You put some mustard or something on it? Wait a second. After the onions comes the cheese, and that's what makes it the five way. Here we go. It's the cheese.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
If you're the producer or you have anything to do with their broadcast, you say, hey, we're going to do the Skyline Chili vignette, but we wait until Castellanos is up. That's the only problem I had with that. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, here's something that I did not like yesterday. And you can tell me what your gut reaction is. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. I'm a little disappointed. And maybe we'll look back and say it was all for naught, it wasn't a big deal, and so be it. But the Pittsburgh Steelers signed edge rusher Melvin Ingram The 32-year-old fills a major hole in the Steelers' defense left by the free agency departure of Bud Dupree. And so I was disappointed because I wanted the Chiefs to sign Melvin Ingram.
And you said that in the spring. We were talking about free agents right off the bat. I mean, when I was back from...
Don't yell at me.
No, I'm just saying, like, you had to talk me into it. And I was, no,
well,
I'm
how'd that
good.
Work out? I'm glad I took time to talk you into it.
Well, you got me to buy in.
Good, great.
Long, enough,
good.
For the, long enough for the Steelers to sign his ass.
So then what's your reaction when you saw that?
When I read that last night, I was a little miffed, especially with the uncertainty around Frank Clark's situation.
Yes.
Especially Nate? With that.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I was hoping the Chiefs would be in the mix for that.
Okay. Now, the one thing that I was going to wait on was to see how much he signed for. Because then, if it's like, you know, it was too much. Okay, I see. Every report that we heard and everything we heard coming out of Arrowhead was, hey, they just can't agree. He wants too much money. And then I understand, because it takes two to tango.
Right. Multi-year deal. He wanted a multi-year deal.
Did you see what he signed for, Nate?
No.
What guess? Wait, like, what's the threshold? You would feel comfortable with him signing with the Chiefs for how much? Like, what would be your limit? You want to take a break on that and come back and guess? So Jake doesn't get angry that we're going too long in the segment. Now, don't look it up.
Okay.
Don't look it up.
Okay.
I want you to think about it and think, you know what? I would have felt comfortable with the Chiefs giving him this much money. And we'll see if he signed for more, if he would have exceeded your comfort level. All right, can we do that?
Sure.
Get you some, boy, you sound excited about it. Am I bothering you from your Beverly Hills coffee? Is that what it is? Can I tear you away from your foot massage to get you to think about Melvin Ingram signing with the Steelers? Good God. Yeah, sure. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I'll do it.
Just don't look it up.
I'm in,
sure.
Man, I'm in.
Don't look it up.
Okay, sure. Whatever. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Don't look it up.
All right, so Melvin Ingram signs with the Steelers. And last year, his last year for the Chargers, he made $14 million. He only managed to play in 7 games last season due to a knee injury, but made around $14 million. What would have been the max offer to Melvin Ingram from you, Nate, for the Chiefs?
I would say maybe 1 year, $6 or $7 million.
So would you have gone 2 years?
I'd rather not.
Okay, so 1 year. 1 year. What if he counters? Okay, 1 year, $10 million. You said no.
That would be a lot. That would be a lot. I guess it depends on how desperate the Chiefs are to replace. I mean, like, is Frank Clark going to play this year?
Even with that said, who's going to play on the other side of him?
Well,
we're going to use Chris Jones a lot over there, is what they say. But
yeah,
I feel like even with, like what you say, even with Frank Clark, they could use another edge rusher.
Sure.
And then if you
sure
know,
they could use one. I just don't know if I'd be willing to pay over $10 million for him.
What about 1 year for $4 million? Because that's what he signed for with the Steelers.
Yeah, I think I'd have paid that.
That's disappointing. That's disappointing to me. Now that you know it was 1 year, $4 million, Jake, your reaction to that?
I was pretty disgusted when I read that.
Oh, disgusted?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically...
I was disappointed. You're disgusted.
That's what Breland got, too. I think they're going to regret not signing.
Well, you know, that made me angry.
Right. I mean, but both those guys, $4 million for 1 year, seems very manageable. No long-term implications. You're not going to hurt your cap. I mean, you could have had both those guys on your defense for $8 million combined. Stupid.
I saw a couple people report last night like they couldn't agree on a contract. I mean, the Chiefs didn't want to go $4 million on Ingram.
I'd have gone $5 million, easy.
Easy. You don't care. You're throwing money around.
He's like that Suns fan.
Right. Stack of hundreds, throwing all that money at Melvin Ingram. But Melvin Ingram signs with the Steelers. Back after this on WHB. Hey, thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues. We're going to have Skyline Chili in studio on Sports Radio 810 WHB.